What if the most profound philosophical debates of our time were happening not in dusty academic journals, but in a castle filled with floating candles and talking portraits? J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series has enchanted millions with its tale of wizards and magic. Yet beneath the surface lies something far more intriguing, a sophisticated exploration of questions that have puzzled humanity for millennia. From the nature of the soul to the ethics of power, from destiny versus free will to the transformative force of love, Rowling weaves philosophical depth into every spell and potion. What makes this remarkable isn't just that philosophy exists in these pages, but how naturally it emerges from the story itself. When Voldemort splits his soul into Horcruxes, we're not just watching dark magic, we're witnessing an ancient debate about what makes us human. When Harry walks willingly to his death in the Forbidden Forest, we're experiencing Socratic wisdom about mortality. The wizarding world becomes a laboratory for exploring life's biggest questions, making complex ideas accessible without ever feeling like a lecture. What terrifies you most about death? The loss of consciousness? Identity dissolving into nothing? Rowling confronts this through souls, particularly Voldemort's Horcruxes and the Dementor's Kiss. Philosophers have long debated the soul's nature. Ancient Greeks saw it as life force. Descartes placed reason there. Materialists deny its existence. But Rowling's wizarding world proves otherwise. Souls exist, survive death, and can be manipulated through magic. The Dementor's Kiss reveals the soul's essence. Victims remain physically alive, hearts beating, lungs breathing, but their personhood vanishes. No memories, no personality, no self, just an empty shell. The soul isn't mere consciousness, it's the essence of personhood itself. Voldemort's Horcruxes confirm this. Through murder, the supreme act of evil, he fractures his soul, hiding fragments to achieve immortality. The cost? He loses his humanity piece by piece. His appearance becomes snake-like. He grows incapable of love, empathy, or genuine connection. His soul, damaged beyond repair, can no longer access the emotions and moral conscience defining human experience. The soul houses our deepest feelings and ethical capacity, the part that loves, grieves, and chooses right over wrong. Sirius Black's transformations reveal a puzzling duality. As Padfoot, he sometimes displays clear human intelligence, planning escapes, maintaining relationships. Other times, he's unmistakably canine, chasing his tail, responding instinctively to scents, expressing joy through behaviors his human mind might find embarrassing. Padfoot isn't Sirius's consciousness piloting a canine vehicle. The transformation creates a hybrid, man-dog, whose identity emerges from the interaction between human consciousness and animal embodiment. Harry, using Polyjuice Potion, retains memories while adapting to his new form. Animagus transformation incorporates genuine animal instincts while maintaining core identity. Werewolf transformation provides stark contrast. Lupin's human consciousness is overwhelmed by biological imperatives. Identity isn't purely mental or physical, it's the ongoing interaction between consciousness, bodily capabilities, and environment. When Luna recognizes Harry despite Polyjuice alteration, she perceives how personality transcends physical form. We are integrated beings whose identity flows from the complex dance between mind and matter. The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches. Professor Trelawney's prophecy sparked the entire conflict, yet Dumbledore insists Harry isn't bound by it, that he's quite free to turn your back. Is the future fixed or changeable? The prophecy's power lies in how people react to it. Two boys fit the description, Harry and Neville. By choosing Harry, seeing himself in another half-blood, Voldemort created his own nemesis. The prophecy didn't cause Voldemort's downfall, his choices did. Time travel provides crucial insight. When Harry and Hermione use the Time Turner, they don't change the past, they fulfill what already happened. Harry casts the Patronus that saves his earlier self. the timeline is unchangeable. But do choices still matter? The series suggests yes. While the timeline may be fixed, the choices leading there remain meaningful. Harry could have refused to walk into the Forbidden Forest. That he chose sacrifice matters, regardless of predetermination. Yet troubling coincidences abound. Brewing polyjuice in Myrtle's bathroom leads to the chamber. The Half-Blood Prince's textbook provides crucial knowledge. Capture by snatchers while carrying Griffook seems impossibly convenient. The series leaves this tension unresolved. In Harry Potter, love transforms through sacrifice, redemption, and vulnerability. Three abandoned boys, Harry, Voldemort, and Snape, found their first home at Hogwarts, yet their responses to love led them down vastly different paths. Snape's journey reveals love's transformative power most poignantly. His occulency deceived Voldemort for years, but isolated him from genuine connection. His love for Lily began selfishly. He wanted only her saved. Dumbledore's confrontation shifted everything. His promise to protect Harry transformed his love from selfish desire into virtuous action. Like Plato's concept where love leads to giving birth in beauty, Snape's unrequited love brought forth courage, loyalty, and self-sacrifice. The series explores love's dark counterfeits. Merope Gaunt's love potion on Tom Riddle Sr. demonstrates both the power and limitations of manufactured affection. When she stopped the potion, her willingness to risk rejection showed she valued authenticity over control. Unlike her son Voldemort, who murders his father in revenge, Merope chose light despite her dark circumstances. Harry's capacity for love repeatedly protects him, from his mother's sacrifice to his love for Sirius that expelled Voldemort's possession. His most radical act comes when he urges Voldemort to feel remorse, attempting redemption for his mortal enemy. This redefines strength not as domination, but as compassion, incorporating what society dismisses as weakness into the very definition of power. Lord Acton's warning that power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely pervades the wizarding world's institutions. The Ministry of Magic epitomizes governmental corruption, maintaining Azkaban's psychological torture, allowing Umbridge to use blood quills on students, conducting trials without legal representation, and accepting bribes. Without democratic elections or due process, it operates as autocracy disguised in bureaucratic robes. Dumbledore and Plato share striking parallels. Both witnessed warfare and tyranny, faced temptation by political power, Dumbledore with Grindelwald, Plato through Athenian aristocracy, and experienced personal tragedy, Ariana's death, Socrates' execution. Each retreated into education, establishing institutions to shape future leaders. Learning that intelligence alone doesn't qualify someone for leadership. True leaders must possess moral virtue and actively resist power's corrupting influence. Dolores Umbridge embodies corruption's chilling progression. As her authority grows, her passive aggression evolves into outright sadism, torturing students, attempting unforgivable curses, reacting with disproportionate rage to challenges. She represents virtue's antithesis, particularly lacking self-restraint. Dumbledore's self-knowledge distinguishes him. Recognizing his dangerous attraction to power, he repeatedly refused the minister position. This Socratic wisdom, understanding one's weaknesses, makes him qualified for leadership precisely because he doesn't seek it. Harry inherits this wisdom, using the invisibility cloak to protect others rather than for personal gain, demonstrating the self-restraint both Plato and Dumbledore believed essential in true leadership. At King's Cross, a luminous realm between life and death, Harry faces his final choice: board the train to whatever lies beyond, or return to finish what he started. This liminal space crystallizes Rowling's vision on mortality, moral regeneration, and what it means to truly live. The phoenix symbolizes transformation throughout the series. Like the bird that burns and rises from ashes, those who've committed wrongs must undergo similar death and rebirth through genuine remorse, not mere regret at being caught, but deep recognition of harm caused. Voldemort's tragedy isn't just his fear of death, but his incapability of the remorse that could save him. In their final confrontation, Harry offers Voldemort redemption, addressing him as Tom Riddle to call him back to his lost humanity. "Try for some remorse," Harry urges, but Voldemort, unwilling to undergo such humbling transformation, attacks and is undone. His desperate fear of death drove him to destroy his soul, creating genuine reason to fear what lies beyond. The contrast echoes Socrates versus the Sophists. The Sophists believed immoral people always get more than moral ones, that virtue is for fools. Voldemort embodies this view, exploiting others for personal gain. Harry illustrates Plato's virtues, wisdom, courage, and justice. Voldemort's wretched appearance reflects his disordered soul, showing how immoral choices lead to inner misery. When Harry asks whether their conversation is real or just happening inside his head, Dumbledore challenges false dichotomies. "Of course it is happening inside your head, Harry, but why on earth should that mean that it is not real? Mental experiences can be as meaningful as physical ones. The love we feel, the choices we make, these internal realities shape our lives as powerfully as any external force." The paradox emerges. Those who put self above all else end up worse off than those who prioritize the common good. As Dumbledore observed, "You are the true master of death, because the true master does not seek to run away from death. He accepts that he must die, and understands that there are far, far worse things in the living world than dying." In a world obsessed with immortality, from anti-aging treatments to transhumanist dreams, Rowling offers different wisdom. True mastery over death comes not from avoiding it, but from accepting it, from living so fully that death loses its sting. Our mortality gives life meaning, love transcends death, and the choices we make in the face of our finite existence define who we truly are.